Morning. For those expecting to hear Larry this morning, he couldn't make it. He had told us before that he wouldn't be able to make it this week, so I'm here. And for those who recognize this verse from Wednesday night, don't worry, it's not the same Wednesday night class lesson. It's a different lesson. We're just going to use the same verse as a jumping off point. We're going to start with Matthew 16, and we're looking at 15 through 18. And I'm not going to read it again since Cleveland just finished reading it, but we'll summarize it a little bit. You know, Jesus asked for who do men think say that I am, and then he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon answered, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And so what I want us to think about today is, when Jesus said, I will build my church, you know, what did he build? And did he finish? Did he finish building the church? And we know that the word church means a called out. It's those who are called by Christ or by the gospel of Christ to join in the fellowship of his salvation. So it's people. The church is people. And we'll look at some things that those who are called out do. The called out edify one another and themselves. The called out perform benevolence. And the called out evangelize. And in order to do these things, we have to keep our focus on Christ. Because right after making this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know, Peter doesn't understand when Jesus tells him that he must die. So in Matthew 16:22, it says that Peter looked at him or took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So he decided that what Jesus had just told him would happen would not happen. And let's look at what Jesus told him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So one of the things I want us to think about this morning is, are we thinking about the things of God, or are we thinking about the things of men? Because in just a few verses, from verse 17 to verse 22, Peter goes from being blessed by Jesus to Jesus telling him, you're an offense to me. You know, get behind me. You're not thinking properly. Because Peter lost his focus. He went from listening to what God told him about Jesus to listening to what Satan told him about Jesus. And we know that the pandemic has affected us a lot. It's affected all churches. And I think it's affected churches as much as any institution in the world, because many churches were forced to cancel services because of government orders. Others canceled services out of concern for the health of members. You know, in the last 2 years or so, you know, we've canceled worship services, fellowship activities, benevolent activities, outreach activities. We've canceled a lot of things, a lot of activities, a lot of work that we would normally have been doing the last 2 years. And I'm sure, like all of y'all, I enjoyed some of that time. You know, we could go out and work in the yard on Sunday afternoon, and we got to work a couple of extra hours. We didn't stop and get dressed and come to Sunday night services because we weren't having them. And so it created habits that we began to enjoy over time. And I didn't have any trouble finding things to do on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't imagine any of y'all did either. There's always things that we can do that take up our time and take up our interest. And so we developed other habits. And I believe the devil was able to use the pandemic in a very destructive way. He didn't have to convince us to commit some big sin. He just got us to be complacent. He got us to settle into new habits, you know, what we call the new normal. And several got used to the new normal in their relationship with Jesus and his church. And so we still have other things to do on Sunday night and Wednesday night, because we're no longer mindful of the things of God. And we're satisfied with this watered-down relationship with Jesus that we didn't have before. We had a more robust relationship with Jesus, but now it's watered down because we're not mindful of the things of God. And I want us to think about some of the things that God wants us to be mindful of, some of the works that God wants us to be involved in. And when Jesus says he's going to build his church, is Jesus the church? Jesus is not the church. We're the church. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. So we're the church. Let's look at Acts 4. In Acts 4, verse 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So Jesus is that foundation. He's the cornerstone of the church. And we have to come to him to be saved, but he is not the church. He's the foundation. Let's look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So once again we see that Jesus is the cornerstone, and the teachings of the apostles and the prophets are part of that foundation. But we're all built together. We're all fitly framed together to grow. And the church grows when we grow. It gets stronger when we get stronger. The church gets stronger when we are not tossed back and forth by every so-called new idea that comes along and tries to steal our faith. So we have to get stronger. And as we get stronger, the church grows. And the church has three core activities. We have three core activities. Christians have three core activities: edification, benevolence, and evangelism. Edification. Dictionary says it's literally a home builder, a house builder. It means to build up. So when we edify one another, we build each other up. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So when we edify ourselves, we build up ourselves, we edify and build up others, we are working to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. We're edifying the body of Christ, which is the church. And verse 16 says that edification causes the body to increase. So when the body increases, we're adding on to the body. We're building the body. We're building the church. Because the body of Christ is the church. And so we have to be mindful of the things of God and not mindful of the things of men. And how do we edify each other? How do we edify ourselves? Let's go back to Acts. Acts 2 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So they continued in study and meditating and reading and learning the apostles' doctrine. Hebrews 10:25 says we're told not to forsake the assembly. So if we want to edify ourselves and edify each other, then we're going to be in our worship services. Colossians 3:16 talks about in our worship that we let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. So we edify each other in our worship. 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 4, says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." There's some strong words there. Part of edification is learning what we should learn about the Bible and then teaching others so others can teach others. Because whether we like it or not, we're at war. We're not in a physical war, but we're in a spiritual war. And if you're not preparing as a good soldier, then you will lose that war. And part of preparing to be in that war is knowing the Word of God. A good soldier has to put on the full armor of God, because many of us are already casualties of this war. We tell ourselves that we're fine, but we're wounded. Some fatally wounded. Some of us are dying, spiritually dying. And we tell ourselves we're fine. We go about our weekly lives. We go to work. We go home. We do all the things that we normally do. And we tell ourselves that we're fine, but we're not. We're mortally wounded. We're spiritually dying. So what is another work of the church? The other one we talked about was benevolence, caring for the needy. Acts 6 talks about caring for widows. James 1:27 calls for us to take care of the fatherless and widows. Galatians 6:10 tells us to take care of those, especially fellow Christians. In the judgment scene in Matthew 25, we see two groups. Jesus told them, you had to have cared for the hungry, the thirsty, given strangers a place to stay, took care of those that were naked, those were sick, those were in prison. So there's a lot for us to do in benevolence. Let's look at the last thing, evangelism. In Matthew 16, verse 19, after Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church," he says, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven," talking to Peter, "and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So what did Peter do with these keys? Well, he went out and he preached a sermon. He showed the entrance to the kingdom, to the church. And the church was established on that day in Pentecost. But it wasn't completed, it wasn't finished, it was just started. So if the church is not built, Who's building it? So who is building the church today? And if we don't know that answer, we may be having problems. Because that probably means that we're not being mindful of the things of God, but we're being mindful of the things of men. We know in John 3:16 that that's the reason why Jesus came. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's the reason why Jesus came, to evangelize. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." John 14:6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me." So that's the reason why Jesus came. He came to save us, to lay the foundation for his church, and for us to build that church. Let's look at Romans 10. Romans 10, 13 to 15. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So when we go out and preach the gospel, we're building the church. We're increasing the church. We're adding to the church. Of course, we know that God adds to the church, but we're doing our part to add to the church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3:9-11. "For we are builders together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Okay, so Paul was laying the foundation. But really, the foundation was already there. The foundation, as he says in verse 11, is there's no other foundation than Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is that foundation. And he tells the people he's writing to, "You're God's building." Because we're both. We're God's building, and we're God's builders. Somebody else taught us and increased the church by converting us. And it's our job to go out there and convert others, to add to the church, to finish building the church. And if we're not out there doing the work of the church, doing the work of Christians, then the church doesn't get added to, and the church falls. The church does not continue if we're not out there adding to the church. So we're either out there building the church or we're not. You know, there's not 20 different ways of looking at it. We're either minding the things of God or we're minding the things of men. We're either building up the church or we're not. And we've seen that edification builds up ourselves and builds up each other. Benevolence, we care for those that are outside the church and especially those that are inside the church. And evangelism, we care for the lost souls of the world. And each of these works builds the church. When we go out and help others, it builds the church. When we go out and teach others, it builds the church. When we study God's word, it builds the church. because we're stronger and we're able to resist temptation and we don't fall. And all of these things are the work of the church, the work, our work, your work, things that we have to do. And we have a new minister starting next Sunday morning. Sean will be with us next Sunday. We've had four ministers in the last 36 odd years, which about an average of 9 years each. Some have stayed longer, some have stayed shorter. But what the church really depends on is who's in this room today. If the church is going to grow and we're going to add to the church, and we can't leave it up to the new minister to come in and do all the work. He's got to have support. He's got to have help. And we've got to do our part to contribute to the growth of the church, to adding to the church. And I would like for us to look at Matthew 16 again. Verse 24. He said, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So we've got two choices. We can come after Jesus and deny ourselves. We can mind the things that are God's thoughts, or we can try to save our own life a different way, get involved in different things. And we have to make a choice. We have to decide whose side are we on. You know, are we going to help build the church, or are we not going to help build the church? You know, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You're not going to accidentally fall into heaven. You may wake up in hell and say, "Well, how did I get here?" Well, you know, you might have always thought that you had time. You might have thought, "Well, tomorrow I'll start thinking about God's things. Tomorrow I'll start focusing on building up my faith. Tomorrow I'll read the Bible. Tomorrow I'll come to worship services. Tomorrow I will study the Bible." And as long as you have that attitude, when you die, you're not going to accidentally wake up in heaven. It's just not going to happen. Because now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to get involved in the work of the church. Now is the time to do what you know you should do. So, are we going to build the church, or are we going to put it off? And if we put it off, we may run out of time. So I would encourage all of us, you know, let's reorient our priorities. Let's reorient our goals in life. Let's reorient where we put our emphasis. Put our emphasis on the things that are God's, not the things that are man's. And if you're prepared to do that, then I encourage you to come forward, because it's time for a rededication, a restart. You know, we've got to get beyond this pandemic and get focused again on doing the work of the church. And if you need help of any kind, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.